Good night, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to episode 140 of Folks Talking Sports, the Houston Round Ball Review presents Folks Talking Sports. I am KG Chris Gardner of the Houston Round Ball Review, and with me is my man, my colleague, Mr. Willie Gibson. How are you, Mr. Gibson?
Doing well, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's talk about football first. Mm-hmm. College, pro, I'm going to come from this angle first. Let me get this pull of scores up here. Mm-hmm. Let me see here. I'm going to read them off.
Okay.
All right. H-Town teams this weekend, Mr. Gibson. Mm-hmm. Houston Cougars lost 34-0 at Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Texas Southern lost 20-17 at Lamar. Mm-hmm. Rice lost 37-14 at Navy. HCU lost 45-7 at UTSA. Prairie View lost 31-24 in overtime home game versus Southern. It was a lost weekend, Mr. Gibson. And then to cap off the weekend, yeah. Football fans, H-Town fans, the Texans got crushed today in Minnesota 34-7. So there's no joy in Mudville.
Yeah, I was seeing a trend developing. Like, oh, okay, yeah, not a good weekend for the H-Town teams in football.
Man, Thrillo, man, thank you very much for timing in, brother. I was listening to Larry Chatterbox Hale and Devin Wade, two brothers I've known for. Wow, Thrillo, I'm not sure how old you are, but I might have known those two long than Thrill's been alive, but who knows? And Thrillo right there. TSU was leading. Mm-hmm. I dozed off, Will. Mm-hmm. Woke up, final score. Lamar wins. I was like, what?
Wow.
I was like, yep. So it was 17-13 TSU. Lamar went in. TSU owned the first half.
Oh, happy birthday, Thrillo.
Oh, Thrill. Yeah, brother. Happy birthday. Happy born day to you, man. Yeah. Welcome. So, yeah, I have not known Chatterbox and Devin that long. So, probably 25 years or so. But, yeah. But TSU, just the thing they did in the first half, they did not do in the second half. Took a lead, 17-13, and then lost down the stretch. So, yeah, lost weekend. But Mr. Gibson, the game you covered today, yeah, in Cleveland, you add to the club.
So what'd you
see in Cleveland?
I saw a team that is not well. I saw a team that lost a few players to injury. Most importantly, on the offensive line, which in turn makes the quarterback look a lot worse than he actually was. And it's always popular, especially for this particular quarterback, Deshaun Watson, to blame him for everything. And if you look at his numbers, he really didn't play. He played a decent game. He was, what, 21-37? Yeah, 21-37, 196 yards, 2 touchdowns. Lost 2 offensive linemen due to injury in the midst of the game.
So some more.
Right.
Okay.
Some more. Additional.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's the thing. An offensive line, your quarterback, I don't care how talented the quarterback is, if he's running for his life each and every play, he's not going to produce. And that's what Deshaun's been doing. But Browns did lose to the New York Giants, 21-15. Like I said, Deshaun played decent. Amari Cooper was seen. He had been struggling in the first 2 games, 5 catches for 27 yards. Coming into the game, he had 7 catches for 86 yards and 2 touchdowns. So the team is playing well, but I mean, the injury bug, and then that's just, you're not going to produce and play well if your offensive line. By the end of the game, they have 5 offensive linemen out there that never played together. You had 2 starters. The 2 starters that were remaining were playing new positions. Mm-hmm. And it was just a hodgepodge. And people wonder why Deshaun didn't get fourth and one. Why Jameis didn't get third and one. And they want to complain about that. But like I explained, I also saw Deshaun Watson throw a thread the needle on a fourth down pass to number 19, Cedric Tillman, that hit him in a bad spot right between the one and the nine, and he dropped it. Mm-hmm. But Deshaun gets the blame. So I think people's expectation, and they want to throw the money at, well, he's paid too much to not step up. And I said, well, let's not make this about the money, because what you're implying is if he's not paid as much as he is, then it's okay if he doesn't step up. Right. So which one is it? You know, I mean, you and I have this conversation all the time, and it's just amazing that, you know, the first thing that people want to bring up is money. You know, no one goes to FedEx or Amazon when their package is late. Well, you know, they're paid too much not to step up. But professional athlete, because their salaries are made public, it's easy. It's low hanging fruit to, well, he makes too much money. And, no, he doesn't.
Don't get me started. I can turn the tables on a whole another tangent about this. I'll say this and leave it alone. I wonder why a lot of society holds athletes more accountable than they hold public figures, politicians,
great point.
Police officers, etc. I'll just leave it there. You can add your own thoughts to it, but I'm just gonna put it right there. But yeah, Miss Polk was the good luck right there for the Astros on Friday. But as Thrillo pointed out, the Astros blew a lead today. I think the Astros' magic number to clinch is either one or two to clinch the division, the AL West. So they'll get that done either tomorrow or Tuesday. They should get that done. Since the Commanders did not play today, and they play Monday, I didn't know that until this afternoon. So that's how much I'm paying attention to the football team that I used to root for majority of my life. I do know this, though, today. I know the Dallas Cowgirls lost.
Get that head out your heart, bro.
So I know that today. That's the thing I know today.
Yeah.
And speaking of money and QBs and stuff, and I think Dak is he getting paid now, right, Will?
Dak's been paid for a while now. He's been getting paid the last 9 years.
But he's a 1-2, right? Oh, well, so it's the money thing. He's making too much money now to be 1-2. Oh, my bad. Shouldn't have gone there. Oh,
I mean, okay. he threw for 378. So, it wasn't him. I mean,
oh man. So you know. But anyway. Yeah. All right. So Thrillo says magic number is 2 for the Astros. Okay. Appreciate that. I also know this. For the second time in the history of the WNBA, have a unanimous MVP.
No fourth place votes this year?
Not this year.
Okay.
Unanimous MVP, Miss Asia Wilson, Las Vegas Aces, was named unanimous MVP early this morning. Why the W did it? I mean, it was like, let's see. Had I left for church yet? I don't think I left for church yet. So that was probably 7:45, 8 o'clock this morning when they sent out the press release announcing that Asia Wilson was unanimous MVP. The highest scoring average in league history, most total rebound in the league history, led the league in blocks, first player to do all that, scoring, block shots, everything. Queen is deserving of being unanimous MVP. And Miss Wanda, or Thrillo, well, I'm sure you might know, but I'm not going to test your knowledge on this one. Thrillo, Miss Wanda, who was the first unanimous WNBA VP MVP?
I don't know.
It's pretty. It was even mentioned in the sports ticker and stuff, but it all ties together where I'm going to go in a moment. But somebody chime in is watching us on Facebook and YouTube. Who was the first and before today, the only unanimous MVP in WNBA history until Miss Asia Wilson joined her? Come on, y'all kind of slow here. It's pretty easy answer. Come on now, y'all type it up. Are your fingers stuck? You can't type it in. You know, I'm not at the point where I have. Oh, Miss Wanda has to Google it. You know, Miss Wanda. You know, you know me. So thank you, Thrillo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Cynthia Cooper. The first season, the inaugural season of the WNBA, Coop was unanimous MVP. So congrats to Asia Wilson. Aces game one against the Seattle Storm starts in about 50 minutes. We'll be done with FTS before then, well before then.
Mm-hmm.
First two games today on the WNBA docket weren't close. New York thrashed the Atlanta Dream. 83-69, it wasn't really that close.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh boy, I'm the haters out there, I'm sure. I didn't look up her final numbers, but the Connecticut Sun defeated the Indiana Fever, and oh, did they defeat them.
Oh, really?
93-69.
Okay. Nice little 24.
So, yeah, they took them behind the woodshed. And let me see. Caitlin Clark. I know Caitlin was struggling from three earlier in the game, a month of the game. Yeah, she finished 4-17 from the floor, 2-13 from three. So that's a problem. It's also a problem that Kelsey Mitchell went 2-10 from three.
Mm-hmm.
They struggled rebounding. You see the numbers. Connecticut, it was only 36-29 rebounding. But Will, I swear, the first quarter, Connecticut had this almost doesn't seem right. They for the game had 8 offensive rebounds. I swear they had 5 of them in the first quarter. I mean, it was like any time they missed, rebound, rebound, rebound. But they only had 8. But, yeah, Connecticut won by 24 points to go up 1-0 in that series. Game 2 will be Wednesday. The best game of the three so far today. Didn't look like it was going to be close either. Minnesota Lynx held on to beat the Phoenix Mercury 102-95.
Mm-hmm.
Lynx led by 23 points in the second quarter.
Okay.
Phoenix came all the way back and took a 1-point lead in the fourth quarter. Then the Lynx finished on a run. Well, if you go to some message boards and things of that sort in Arizona or Phoenix Mercury message boards, you might see some fans. We got robbed, man. The referees had it in for us. There was some strange calls down the stretch, Mr. Gibson. I'll just leave it at that. There was strange calls and non-calls, and I'm not sure. Phoenix, their offense kind of bogged down. But yeah, just gonna leave it at that. You know, I'm not big on blaming the referees, but I know what I saw. So I'll just say that. Okay, Mr. Gibson.
Yes, sir.
Who did the Buckeyes play yesterday?
Marshall, the Thundering Herd.
And what was the final score of that thumping by Ohio State?
49-14.
Did they cover?
No.
Yeah, I don't say they didn't cover. Yeah.
Mm. No.
What's up with that, Will?
It's not. I'm the wrong one. I'm not the one. It's not
that big a deal. I know.
Yeah.
But I will say this, or ask you about this.
Yeah.
Will, it must be a typo. Have to be a typo, Will, because I swear I saw a final score yesterday between North Carolina and James Madison.
Yep.
And the final score was 70-50. James Madison?
Yep, 70-50. And it was a check game, so they got $500,000 for the privilege.
Man, it was so embarrassing that there were reports or rumors that Mac Brown was going to step down.
No, he squashed that post.
He squashed that, but very quickly. And I was like, man, the halftime score was 50-21. I think that's right.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 70 points to James Madison. Well,
yeah.
That's, I think, the most points the Tar Heels have given up at home, right? Or something like that. In program history like or a long time, something, whatever.
Yeah.
70-0.
Yeah, that wasn't the Smith Center. That wasn't the Dean E. Smith Center.
No, that's a football score.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
I think James Madison is underrated. I think a lot of their coach, Kirk Cignetti, is now their former coach, rather, is now the head coach of Indiana here in the Big 18. And so I think people underestimated James Madison because they lost their head coach, and they figured, okay, this, you know, but the talent is still there. And they hired from within. They didn't go outside the program. They hired one of his former assistants as the new head coach. And so it's just wash, rinse, repeat. They just picked up where they left off. And that wasn't, now the score is kind of shocking, 70 to 50, but the result isn't that shocking because they pretty much just picked up where they left off and kept it going into this season. So
I'm perusing the score here. I'm sure Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark has made note of it. I know the ACC Commissioner, Mr. Phillips, has made note of it. Yep. SMU 66, TCU 42. SMU's like, well, we run this area now. we run this area, not y'all. So, but that's kind of a bad look for the Big 12. I'm going to talk about it. I will bring it up now. The Cougs getting thrashed. The manner of the defeat was the surprise. The loss was not a surprise.
That was a surprise to me because Cincinnati's bad.
They're not as bad as Houston is. In this sense, it's year two for them and their head coach. It's year one for Coach Fritz. The mess for Coach Fritz.
I'm going to put a pin there for a second.
Go ahead.
So it's okay for teams to struggle in year two?
Well, year two is of a coach?
Yeah, coach.
Depending on the coach.
Why are we doing that?
Yeah, depending on the coach. That's the answer folks are going to say, depending on the coach. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. You know where I'm going.
Yeah.
I just want to put a pin there for a second for later. Okay.
Yeah. But Colorado came from behind and got that dub.
And that win in year two, right?
He's in year two of the Big 12.
Okay.
And their win. Ooh, I didn't see this. My bad. I didn't see this final. I'm shocked. This final score here, BYU 38, K-State 9. Damn.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. Goodness. Ooh. 38-9. Ouch. And so folks are going to say, see, look at BYU. Look at Cincinnati. Look at UCF. They're in year two in the Big 12. I don't know, head coach, though. Coach Fritz, his first year in the Power Conference. Okay, so, and he was left with, y'all follow me, y'all know what he was left with. He was left with nothing. So he's having to start over from the bottom. And it's going to be a long year. It's going to get worse. They've got Iowa State. Iowa State beat Arkansas State, but still. 52-7. They come to Houston and TD ECU this coming Saturday. 6 p.m. start on FS1. That was announced earlier Sunday. That's going to be a thumping. The Cougs will experience that butt whooping. But the deal is the team had this penalties and the defense took a step back against Cincinnati. They got a run over. The quarterback, Brendan Sorsby, looked like he was a Heisman candidate. I think he completed 12 in a row, something like that. So that was the bigger disappointment, was how the defense got thrashed. They weren't playing Rice, Will. The Bearcats may not be one of the top teams in the Big 12, and they're not. But they're better than Rice. Okay. And so the Cougs defense looked great against Rice. But, they did not look good against Cincinnati. I hope they look better against Iowa State, but I have my doubts.
Matt Campbell, Ohio native.
Yep. And let me look it up and shake my head here. Let's see. All right. Kansas also lost. Kansas is 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to West Virginia. And according to our colleague, Miss Kenitra Pulliams, people, Jayhawk fans are panicking and calling for heads to roll and wondering where the next win is going to come, where their first win is going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do this, Will, because I told KP, I don't believe the Cougs' first win will come until they face Kansas on October 19th.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Next for the Cougs, Iowa State.
Loss.
Then TCU in Fort Worth.
That's probably a loss.
So that's two. Then they're off. And then they go to Kansas. Go to Lawrence. Well, with the renovation, I'm not sure if they're playing like where the game's going to be played.
Yeah. Lance Leopold has that game circled. He's not losing. He's going to go and you'll get this. He's going to go to Old Mission College try. You want me to lose my job?
Yeah, because their win was over. Their one win was over Lindenwood.
Yeah.
So you want to count that as a win?
Yeah.
I mean, but they do have a common opponent. Kansas and the Cougs have both lost to UNLV.
Okay.
But, I mean, the Jayhawks' next game is against TCU. TCU's defense is kind of shaky. Or SMU is really great.
Right.
And then they play Arizona State. And then, this is a rarity, I think. Both Kansas and Houston are off. Week before they face each other.
It's a little different.
Huh? So yeah, that's different. So let's answer Miss Wanda's question. What is going to be the final score of the Cougs Iowa State game? Let me see if the line has been announced yet. Iowa State minus 13. I would take Iowa State to cover that.
Take that.
Yeah, I think because I'm not sure how the Cougs offense is going to. I don't know when they're going to score. I don't know how they're going to score. The quarterback play is shaky. The offensive line play is shaky. The play calling is shakiest of all of that shakiness. So there needs to be some soul searching of what the Cougs' identity is, who they want to be on offense, what they're going to do. And at some point, they probably will make a change in the quarterback this season, starting quarterback. To go prepare for the future. Well, really, they got better quarterback recruits coming in 25 class and 26 class. So, you know, Cougs fans, Miss Wanda, just got to gut it out. It's going to be a long year. Just look forward to basketball season starting up in about a month or so. You know, so it's roughly 5 weeks, really. But football wise, yeah, it's going to be rough. But. Who's next for the Buckeyes, Mr. Gibson?
The Buckeyes this week, October 5th. That's a great question. This the Big 18 opener. I knew that was coming because I was on something else. I was really had something else lined up. They play Michigan State at Michigan State on Peacock.
Oh.
The only game on
Peacock. Yeah, the only game on Peacock. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking Iowa on October 5th, but they play Michigan State Saturday night at Michigan State.
Buckeyes minus 24.
Yeah, I told you I'm not that guy, but if I had to, I would be safe to say Ohio State can win by more than 24.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Can I go
yes,
on my
please.
Big 18 rant
go
for
ahead.
A second?
Yes, sir.
Big 18 rant, because I know last week. I was being facetious. I was kept throwing it out there, the whole Stanford at Nebraska Big Ten women's volleyball game. But I saw two things more ridiculous than that. Thursday night, I'm just flipping channels, and I come across BTN, the Big Ten network, and it's Thursday night, women's soccer, live.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night, women's soccer, USC at Purdue. Conference game. Los Angeles to West Lafayette, Indiana, midweek.
Midweek, yes.
Women's soccer, non-revenue sport. Women's soccer. Like, when we, you and I talk about this all the time, I know I sent you the women's basketball schedule that came out. And Ohio State has a Wednesday, Saturday women's basketball. Wednesday, I think it's Wednesday, February 5th at UCLA, and then Saturday, February 8th at USC.
Yeah.
So they're going to basically miss a week of school. So they play on Wednesday. So you mean to tell me they're probably going to get there Tuesday? They probably will get there on Monday. And so you're in Los Angeles for the week. And I understand Zoom.
But Will, maybe that's a winter break.
No, not here. It's not. Not here. It's not. That's classes are in session. And the men have something similar mid-February where they go to L.A. and they do the same Wednesday, Saturday, USC, UCLA. And I get it, but it's just amazing to me. And this weekend, Friday night, Seattle, Washington, plays Rutgers in Piscataway, New Jersey on Friday night. Football. Now, that's at least revenue, NIL, I guess. But, I mean, thank you for allowing me to mention.
Not a problem. You know, it's all about the student assets. Oops.
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
The student athletes.
Mm-hmm.
But we digress. Earlier today, speaking of volleyball, Big Ten volleyball, I flipped to ABC and saw Nebraska volleyball against top Louisville.
Top five program.
Yeah. It was a top five matchup. Nebraska, and I guess it was at, or if it was at Louisville, yeah. Nebraska swept Louisville.
Yeah.
In straight sets. Yeah. But it was on ABC.
Nice.
So I was glad to see that. Wow, look at this. I didn't know Pitt volleyball was that good. They're number one.
Yep.
Wow. How about that? Things you know. Things you learn. Nebraska lost the match. Is that? Let me see. It's not pulling up. Yeah, I think it was Nebraska. Earlier this season, not too long ago, to SMU.
Oh.
In volleyball. Yeah. I want to get this right.
Nebraska did?
Let me get this right. Because it was discussion. Yeah. SMU swept them. It was on September 3rd. SMU beat them straight sets.
Labor Day weekend.
And I was like, wow.
Was it Labor Day
weekend? 25-23,
25-21,
and then 25-18. Really? Sold out crowd. 6,773 fans to watch that upset, because it was in Dallas at Moody Coliseum.
Okay.
So salute to all the fans showing up. 6,000. Miss Wanda, chime in and let me know how the volleyball team, the Cougar volleyball team, is doing. They stumbled. They've stumbled a few times so far this season. I know that. As we're getting ready for Big 12 volleyball play. Volleyball is, phone is not cooperating with me right now, playing all these ads. Let me see. Their schedule, volleyball, Cougar volleyball is, boy, I don't know, maybe it's the neighborhood, Will. Even yesterday we had problems with our show. Mm-hmm. Now I got problems here. Cougars volleyball is 5-5.
Okay.
And let me see. They did not even win their own invitational. I think the Flo Hyman, I think they lost a match in that. I think that's right. But the losses, yeah, they lost to Louisiana in five sets. It's part of the Flo Hyman Classic. Flo Hyman was one of the best, was an Olympian,
yep.
A legend.
Yep. Very familiar, yep.
So, yeah, lost to Louisiana, lost to Texas in straight sets, lost to Purdue, so that's two top 10 ranked team, straight sets, lost to SMU. SMU is now ranked top 25. So yeah, their wins aren't over impressive teams. Lost to Ole Miss. So they've lost to four power programs plus Louisiana. So, yeah, that's got to find out. Got some work to do. So yeah. Well, and conference play starts Wednesday in Manhattan against K-State. So we'll see what UH Volleyball does. But Will,
yes, sir.
I received a text message a few days ago asking me if I was going to attend UH women's basketball practice starting this week. Starts this week.
Okay.
Miss Wanda. Thrillo, Will, everybody watching on Facebook, YouTube, what do you think my answer was to that question?
I can't wait to be in the mix. Can't wait to be in the building. Thank you for the invitation.
See, Ms. Wanda, she's a supporter of volleyball, of UH Athletics. She's at every UH event that she can attend, she's there. She's a ride or die UH supporter. Mm-hmm. Much love to her. So she says volleyball is rebuilding too. And I know they lost a lot of graduates from last year's team. Mm-hmm. But see that sentence right there? They remain well coached and relentless. Yeah. That's the key right there. Notice how I've changed the subject, Will.
Yeah. I did. I was gonna let it ride. I was gonna help you because I was gonna say Ohio State men's basketball start practice tomorrow too. I was gonna try to slide that in there.
But the beauty of it is, I think practice starts on Tuesday. I think that's right. Mm-hmm. My text message.
You know.
I think that's right. But the beauty of it is, I have a legit reason for not attending on Tuesday.
Okay.
The Rockets are having a media tour of their new practice facility on Tuesday.
Okay.
So my response was, can't make it. Rockets having their media event on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Then the follow-up was...
Well, when can you come?
The follow-up was, well, you let me know your schedule for the rest of the week. And I said, well,
mm-hmm.
The Rockets are having training camp in town this year because of the new practice facility. So I'm going to be with the Rockets. So the person got the gym the way I was going. Oh, okay. Thank you for keeping me posted, Chris. I was like, yeah, I just can't, Will.
You can.
I can't. I just won't.
You just choose not to.
I choose not to. And yeah. I will be at a couple of games, non-conference, a couple. That's it, mm-hmm. A couple. And then I'll be at the Big 12 conference games, a few of those. However, Ms. Wanda, Mr. Gibson, Big Thrillo, if the UH women's basketball team has a weekend game, the same weekend that the Aggies have a home game or the Longhorns have a home game or Baylor has a home game, I'm making that drive. I'm making that drive. That 100 miles, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, I'm making that drive because mm-hmm. I choose to see, just real talk, Will.
Coach Joni Taylor and A&M.
Some better teams play. Just saying. So, and I am hoping the Lord said the same. I will make a drive to Fort Worth, Texas in December to see South Carolina come to Fort Worth to play TCU. Well, I think the Cougs have a game that day or Sunday or whatever. I think, come on, Will. Mm-hmm. Come on. Y'all know where I'm going to be. I mean, man, if my car can make it, I'm making that trip. That's a no-brainer, man. Please.
Wow.
So I'm just saying. I already put in my request for a credential. you know, and a TCU person said, "We'd love to have you, man." So, right there is another example. Folks, that's, I'm being professional, Will. I'm not trying to be petty. But some folks just, you know, who is the Houston Round Ball Review? Who are you? Okay, some of y'all going to learn. Some of y'all, if you don't know, you're going to find out. I am proud to say I could probably get approved for a credential anywhere in the country. I'm proud. I've earned that. I put in time for that. Final four, Will. I've already been told where the media hotel. You know, the NTA, this Chris want to make sure you know where it's going to be. Thank you very much, folks. Well, I've said it before on this show. I'm not new to this, but I am very true to this. Okay, so thank you. And see, Thrillo understands. Yikes, Miss Wanda understands. Totally understand. I'm just saying. But that about do, brother. You got anything else you want to get off your chest, man? Because
I think I'm good. It's that the Big 18 stuff. I think I'm good.
I like how you said that. You said that a few times tonight, man. The Big 18.
Well, no, how many teams are in the Big Ten?
No, you are correct. Yeah. But you know.
It's the big, and when I write it or I text somebody, I always write Big Ten and then in parentheses 18 because it's 18 teams in the Big Ten. How many teams in the Big 12? 16?
This year.
14, 16?
It is not. Yeah, it's not 16, right? Yeah, as Cougs finished 15. Yeah. So, 16 teams in the
Big 12. Yeah, it was crazy because I was watching last night. I saw the score, Cal and Florida State. And in my mind, I kept thinking, man, they still got some non-conference. Okay, we're not the only team playing a non-conference matchup this week. And then it dawned on me, no.
Oh, that's an ACC
game.
Yep.
It's crazy, man.
And like, the final score was what, Will?
14-9.
14-9.
Yeah.
Florida State's offense is still struggling.
Yep.
14 points against Cal.
Yep.
Ooh. And I think Florida State plays SMU this weekend.
They do?
Right. Ooh. Ooh, Will. Before we wrap it up, I got to look up the line, because I'm curious about the line for that Florida State that game. So let me see, because I want to know. My inquiring mind wants to know what this. Let me see if I can get this before we shut it down for today's edition. Because how long does Mike Norvell have?
I'm hearing not so quiet whispers that they're looking at a former alumni. Come home.
And who could that be, Will?
I don't know. He has a gold jacket that he didn't buy. I don't know.
This Thrillo, Miss Wanda and Mr. Gibson, this is how the mighty have fallen. How far they've fallen. SMU is 4.5-point favorite over Florida State.
Where's that game at?
Dallas.
Okay.
The matchup predictor from ESPN gives SMU a 71% chance of beating Florida State.
Wow.
Mike Norvell, look what you've done, man. Look what you've done.
Chose wrong.
Thurlow asked the question, Will, is his son about to be drafted? The coach you're referencing?
Perhaps. Son. Son, no. Sons? Yeah, no, I'm clowning now. But I mean, yeah.
You know, because he does consider Travis Hunter like a son.
And and there's another one that plays defense. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Just saying.
I'm just saying.
Well, it would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The backtracking, the crawfishing, some alums would do if slash when that happens, because when said unsaid person got Travis Hunter to flip from Florida State to Jackson State, said coach, unsaid coach, name was Mud. How dare he bite the hand that fed him?
Alumni, yeah.
Oh, no, no, no. A few short years later, this coach here, he ain't the one, man. Let's go get the man who can turn this around.
and from what I'm hearing, yesterday's prices are not today's prices.
No, sir.
No, sir.
No, sir. So, yeah. So, yes, SMU is favored over Florida State.
Wow.
And I think people would be shocked if Florida State won that game.
Yeah.
That's how bad things are.
Yeah.
Man. 7 o'clock this Saturday. Yeah, this Saturday on the ACC Network.
Conflict. I'm going to keep an eye on it, though. Ohio State plays. Yeah.
Yeah. And this last thing, because I know the answer. I think I know the answer to this. Does the Big Ten via the Big Ten Network have a TV show announcing or discussing the basketball schedules released for the conference, men and women?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
ACC Network will have their basketball preview show this coming Tuesday, September 24th. SEC, I'm sure, will do the same. It's the beauty of having a linear network.
Mm-hmm.
It's an issue that still plagues the Big 12 because they don't have a linear network. They have Big 12 now on ESPN Plus. The conference announced in a press release that they will have a FAST channel in the fall. So that's coming up. Heck, fall's today, officially.
Mm-hmm.
No mention of whether or not the conference will have shows like a preview show discussing this schedule release, because the Big 12 hoop schedule should be announced this coming, the 26th, Thursday, 26th. So, Will, I'm going with it like this.
Mm-hmm.
If you got, so you say,
mm-hmm.
Justin, thank you for chiming in. So you say, the best conference, men's basketball conference in college hoops. I think, try to promote and plug the teams in your conference as much as possible with a show on streaming, a show, whatever. If you have it on, if you have this newly created FAST channel, the Big 12 FAST channel, and FAST is free ad supported television.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope, I choose to believe the conference would do more to promote, as they say, the best conference in men's basketball. What say you?
You would think so. I would think so. I mean, as you said, the best conference basketball-wise in America. And why would you not want to let the world know? If not you, who? If
right.
You're not going to do it, who's going to do it? So I would absolutely think so.
So it says that it'll be launched on leading platforms early this fall, soon, as well as major platforms such as YouTube, select programming. The funny thing is, Will,
mm-hmm.
I don't know tell me when I say this, let me know your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
The Big 12 Conference and Raycom Sports launched Big 12 Studios. Mm-hmm. I didn't know Raycom Sports still existed.
Right.
I was like, what? So they are partnering with the Big 12 FAST channels, 24/7 Big 12 content. That's what it's going to be. So Big 12 Studios will create and deliver original programming and content. Will feature a variety of programming such as in-game footage, highlights from recent contests, replays. This is what I'm kind of curious about. Replays of historic Big 12 conference showdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I thought ESPN owned those rights. So if it involves Raycom, how old, how far back are they going with that?
Very far.
Because the current games and content is part of ESPN and ESPN Plus and their umbrella. But man, so I'm like, okay, we'll see how this works. But here it is. I thought there was a quote that I wanted to tie in, but the partnership brings Raycom Sports' 45-plus year history in producing and syndicating college sports programming for television. Here it is. Raycom Sports and the Big 12 conference relationship spans back to the 1980s, Will, when Raycom produced games for the conference during its days as the Big Eight. So I wonder if those replays of games are going back to the 80s.
Oh, yeah, they just told you. Absolutely they are. Without question.
So how many fans are going to watch that?
Yep. Oklahoma, Nebraska from 1986. Yep. Absolutely. Please believe it.
As opposed to, it's 24/7, so you got to fill up all those hours somehow, But as I did on the show with KP Kenitra Williams, I'm going to toss my hat. I've tossed my hat in the ring a couple of times. I've tossed my hat in. No, Justin, we talked about Texans and how bad they were earlier. No worries about that. But I tossed my hat in for if it is open. Like Woj. I'll get your thoughts on Woj retiring. Yeah, what about that?
You know what? Kudos to him. He basically created the platform, and he has the right to say enough is enough, and I didn't realize he was 55 years old. I mean, that's not old, but how many times can you break trades at 1 a.m., 4 a.m., 6 a.m.? But a fun fact, his last Woj bomb was the Cavs re-signing Isaac Okoro. Localize it a little bit, but kudos to him. He set the standard. He is the standard, and it's ironic that the guy that is now taking the place of some may have said has already usurped him as the best in the business was his intern. He trained in the business.
Yep.
So that's
Ronnie.
So that to me is a feather in the cap to him. But kudos to Woj. All the best to him in his retirement. And he's going home. He talks about St. Bonaventure basketball all the time. He's a proud alum of that university, and he's going back to help his university. So
kudos to him. So
yeah,
I'll say it. I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
As you mentioned on lunch break. If my alma mater UH wants to do that. Wants to hire me as GM of men's basketball. Hell, Will. If they gave me GM of women's basketball, my first move. So, but I would take that job happily, proudly. I'd work on having AD and some other folks keep the round ball review alive. But best believe I'd be right there just as if Tillman Fertitta is successful. Bringing the WNBA back to Houston. I'll take a job there with that franchise and help grow them to their once former glory. So
is he looking to do that? Is that on the plate?
He put in, his word is he's going to put in a bid in the next few weeks.
Okay.
And the report came out the day after me and KP recorded the show and mentioned it during the show about the comments in the WNBA. Yeah. Because the day we recorded it, the W announced the franchise to Portland.
Yeah.
So that's when I went off and talked about how can you have a team in Portland before you have a team in Houston?
So that's four right now. So now it's Portland, San Francisco, Miami, and Toronto.
Well, Miami's not. The Houston is going to try to bump Miami, Nashville, Austin,
okay,
et cetera, and become a 16th team.
Okay. But Portland, San Francisco.
And Toronto.
And Toronto.
Okay. So, yeah, that's not 15 right now. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, Woj, heck, well, I'm thinking he left more than that. He was getting paid $7 million from ESPN.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's getting paid from St. Bonaventure, but I can't imagine.
It ain't
$4, $5, $6 million, you know. But who was taking Mark Berman's spot in Houston? There's only one Mark Berman, and whoever the guy replacing him is not Mark Berman. And that's why you see Chris Baldwin from Paper City Magazine breaking news and scoop in with some stories, and Duarte. Heck, I've broken a few stories. I could probably break more if I wanted to, you know, but it's not that big a deal to me because it doesn't pay for me, to me, Will, to break a story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if y'all start paying me, like Berman got y'all, y'all be shocked at some of the stuff I know. But anyhow, what was I going to say? Because I wanted to say, because I am all for it. Someone, oh yeah, Big 12, the Fast Channel, all this Raycom stuff y'all probably looking at. If you want to have someone talk about Big 12 women's basketball or men's hoops as part of your content on this new Fast Channel, here I am. Here I am. And I might bring it up because I'm working on getting an interview with somebody in the office. I'm going to say the title. I'm not doing that. I might bring it up with him about that. Because part of the interview will be about this new Fast Channel.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brother Gibson. Justin, if you missed it, my man, Tuesday, September 24th, I will be at the Rockets media tour of the new practice facility. That's not too far from me, thank goodness. So traffic, it'd be a while, but it's not far in terms of mileage, you know. But we're having a media tour on Tuesday. They're going to feed us too, Will.
Nice.
So that's nice. And then on the 30th, the Rockets will have media day. So, Justin, it's almost time, Will. Heck, it is time. NBA season is right around the corner. I will be there. I'm going to record whatever they allow us to record, take some pics. I've heard some great things about how impressive it looks. I'm looking forward to seeing it for myself. I'm sure the Rockets will share footage of it on their platform, but me and my colleagues will do so as well. Jalen Green, let's wrap it up right here, Will. Last thing on this show, this edition of Folks Talking Sports, episode 140. Kay Cunningham got his.
Mm-hmm.
Other draft picks got his, got theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jalen Green has yet to get his. Do you think, obviously, he wants max money? Your opinion, do you think he deserves? If you were Rafael Stone, GM of the Rockets, would you want to give him max money?
Thank you, because I was going to, I mean, deserve.
Deserve, man. I caught myself.
I don't think Jalen Green's the rookie extension eligible player that would get max money. I'll say it like that.
Because I don't think he's the best player on the team.
I would say Şengün, anybody. Would be the one.
Yeah.
But Jim Green, no. And that's not shade at all. I just think the max money. I don't think you get max money.
And AJ Griffin.
Yeah.
I don't know enough. He's stepping away for personal reasons. Will, I can talk to you off air about something that might be reason for the personal reasons, but
okay.
It's not enough to, you know, say publicly.
Okay.
I hope the best for him. And we'll see who the Rockets eventually get to replace him in that spot on the roster. And we'll talk about that in future shows and things of that sort. But Justin, no. Not that I know of. No, not that part. Not Royce White. No. All right, Mr. Gibson. I tell you, Folks Talking Sports just has a knack, an uncanny knack. Mm-hmm. I had planned to have a short show, and yet we still just don't. Kudos to you, Mr. Gibson. Kudos to the audience for making this work. So, Brother Gibson,
yes, sir.
In the words of Slick Rick, the world is yours. Yes, if sir. I get it, there we go. Here we go.
Appreciate it as always. Social media wise, you can find me on X at WillGibson7, Facebook Will Knows, as well as IG and Threads Will Know Sports.
And me, real quick, just truly follow the show, follow Folks Talking Sports there on IG and Threads. And it's almost NBA season, so looking forward to that. Basketball season, looking forward to Big 12 play, men's and women's basketball. Looking forward to speaking with Arizona women's head coach Adia Barnes at some point, put in a word and request to speak to her. Media day is coming up for the conference next month. You know, known her for years back to our Comet days together. So, but everyone, thank you as always for taking time out to join us on this late night edition of Folks Talking Sports. Wanted to squeeze it in because Brother Gibson was pulling long hours today, being at the Browns Giants game and then drove back to the crib. So we said, yeah, man, let's do a later show. No problem. I got you. So thank you, my man, for your time and your insight. And we'll do it again. How are we looking for next Sunday? Same thing? Same kind of scenario?
We'll talk offline.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that'll work.
Yep.
All right, Justin, Miss Wanda, Big Thrillo, everybody watching on Facebook and on YouTube, tell your friends about Folks Talking Sports. Still looking for those advertisers because, hey, always appreciated and needed. And you can just email me. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Email me right here. Advertise at the HRR.com. Salute to Will. Salute to AD. Catch the AdMax Corner if you missed it as he recapped the Texans just getting dog walked in Minnesota today, 34-7. AD Moore talked about that. Check that video out here on the Houston Roundball Review YouTube channel. Hoping to see if I can get some post-game comments from Caitlin Clark. After the Fever got thrashed in their first game, game one of their playoff series against Connecticut Sun. Game two was Wednesday. But after right now, I'm getting ready to go watch game one of the Las Vegas Aces Seattle Storm first round series to see the unanimous WNBA MVP, Miss Asia Wilson, trying to lead her team to a third consecutive WNBA title starting tonight. Playoffs start today. So we'll talk about that in future shows. And as always, everybody, remember this. Since 1994, the Houston Round Ball Review, local name, global perspective. Peace.